the Lord. You know, I've thought about some things. I said this, I think, last week, and I want to repeat it. Life without God is just like an unsharpened pencil. It just don't have a point. Amen. There's just no point, right? And I thank God that He's blessed us this morning. It's a wonderful day to come out and worship and praise Him and to be in the house of the Lord. If anything would restrict you or hinder you from worshiping and praising Him the way you should, just put it aside for a while. Amen. Just take it out and leave it outside. You know, that'd be all right, because we've come to worship and praise an almighty God, a God that can do all things in our life. Good to see a good crowd, good number come this way this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. There's a lot of places visitors could have went this morning, but I don't think anybody would appreciate you more than we do. We're glad you're here. Good to have you with us this morning. I want to look at the Word of God this morning and talk a little bit about miracles, talk a little bit about Jesus, several different things. Probably going to be short and sweet this morning. Don't matter how long it takes. Regardless, I thought about this morning as I walked up this way how God has blessed us in so many things at New Salem Baptist Church, and the help that He gives us in all the situations that we face in life. You know, if you're a child of God, you don't have to go through anything alone or by yourself. You always have that help and that support of God. You always have that support of the Holy Spirit. And then you come down and have support of brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, that you don't have to go through things alone. That you can be surrounded by people that love you, and God loves you, and the Lord Jesus has compassion on you. And so as we go through Scripture today, I want you to think about how blessed we are that we've got a God that cares for us, that we've got an almighty Savior that cared enough to die on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood that you may have forgiveness for your sins. In St. Mark chapter 1, if you turn there with me, St. Mark chapter 1, and I want to start in verse 35. If you will, turn there with me. St. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed unto a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him. And when they had found Him, they said unto Him, "All men seek Thee." And He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And He preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, "If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." Now, I want you to understand and think about this situation. That, you know, Jesus is going from town to town and He's preaching the kingdom and the glory of God. He said, "That's why I came forth." And, you know, at that time, that was His mission, and that's what He was determined to take place. It said He was casting out devils and doing great miracles and all these things in the power of God. And then all of a sudden, here comes a leper coming down to Him. And now, leprosy we're going to deal with, you know, that's a physical illness. That's a physical thing that we want to talk about. But we also want to carry this over a little bit farther, not only physical ailments and problems in life, but also spiritual, the things that sin brings in their life. So this leper came down, and I like the way he came, and he beseeched Him, and he said, kneeling down to Him, he showed reverence to God in breaking down and kneeling down before the Lord Jesus, and he said, "If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." So he came in confidence. Now, I want you to think about the confidence that this leper must have had in the power of God to deliver him from this awful disease. There was no cure for leprosy. There was nothing anything anybody could do for him, but when he came, he had a confidence in his mind and his heart. He said, "If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And so the confidence that he had coming down to Jesus. And I thought about how confident were we when we came to the house of God this morning that the Lord Jesus could take care of our problems and our ailments and our sickness and our sin when we came down to the house of God. Did you come down with a confidence knowing that God is all powerful, can do all things? This leper just came up. He didn't have any doubt in his mind that Jesus couldn't heal him. He didn't have to worry about, I don't know if he can do this or not. He came down, he said, I know if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Coming in confidence to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be in our Christian life today, that we're confident that God is in control of our life, and we're confident that Jesus paid the sin debt on the cross of Calvary. We come with a confidence to God. This leper came confident, didn't he? He didn't have any doubts. And Jesus moved with compassion, and I want you to note that. Jesus moved with compassion. Here's one individual, comes down. He beseeches Jesus, said, I need you to heal me. He said, I believe you can. He said, if thou wilt, I believe you can. And so one person, one individual comes down, presents his problem to Jesus, and it said Jesus had compassion on him. And now that's a great thought, that Jesus has compassion on us as individuals. Now, I want you to keep in mind that us as individuals, Jesus has compassion. He cares what happens in your life. He cares what your day-to-day activity and routine level is. And he had compassion on this leper. And then I got thinking about Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. He had compassion on the multitude. Amen. And so I want to declare to you this morning, not only we that are here in the house of God worshiping and praising have the compassion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the multitude has compassion. Amen. For your friends and your family that's decided not to come, that don't worship a God, that don't have Christ as a Savior, Jesus has got compassion on them also. He looked out and had compassion on the multitude. He said, they've been with me 3 days. They followed me out into the wilderness. They went up onto the mountain with me, and I've got compassion on them. And I thought about this compassion of Jesus and how it spread throughout this whole world. The most ungodly person you could think about, the awfulest sinner that you could name, Jesus has compassion on them. Now, that's the kind of God we serve. You know, where our compassion might fall a little short sometime. You know, we might not really care what happens to this person over here. But Jesus cared what happened to this leper. Jesus cared. In Matthew 15, 32, it said, he looked at the multitude and had compassion on them also. So that compassion covers us all, the whole world. Got compassion. And the second part of the verse, he said, he put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. Now you think what a simple thing that sounds like. I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now we think about this compassion for the leper, and we think about this compassion for the multitude, and we start thinking about, oh, I'm here and Jesus has got compassion and I've got a problem. I've got a sinful life, or I've got an ailment, and I'm going to go to Jesus and ask him for healing this morning. And I thought about how much he loves each and every one here, compassion on the multitude, that he's concerned about your well-being and your life and the problems, the ups and the downs, the sicknesses, the spiritual problems that we have. Jesus is concerned. I will be thou clean. In chapter 2, look with me if you will, in chapter 2, we're going to deal not only physical, but we're going to deal also with spiritual, sinful sickness also. There's two things, you know, that we're going to deal with here. In chapter 2, and again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house, St. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And so a great gathering coming in. And I thought about the drawing power of Jesus Christ. You know, he said, and I, if I be lifted up between the heaven and earth, shall draw all men unto me. And so that drawing power was already present. It's still present with us today because of the word of God. And as they all came in, the multitudes coming in, they were seeing the miracles of God. They were feeling and experiencing the power. And they were coming in. In verse 3, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born before. Now, we've got a man can't carry himself. He can't even walk. And so four men bring him in on kind of a pallet or a litter, whatever it may have been. But they had concern that he needed to go to Jesus. Now, when we start dealing with this need to go to Jesus, I've got friends, I've got family that need to go to Jesus. They are sick, folks. I'm talking about sin sick. I'm talking about spiritually ill. And I thought about how these four men went to the effort and took the trouble. They said, he can't go on his own. We're going to carry him down to Jesus. And what a wonderful thing it is to think that four men had compassion enough and had love and concern enough. They said, we're going to take him down to Jesus. Nobody else can help him. And I've thought about so many times the people I'd like to take down to Jesus. And I've decided if I can't take them to Jesus, I'm going to take Jesus to them. That's the way we'll handle this today, that we'll take that Word of God and the Son of God, Christ Jesus, and we'll take it to them. And when they, in verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I thought, what an effort they put forth. Can you imagine they get there? And how many times, you know, they got there and said, well, we can't get in. Let's go back home. Well, it's just too crowded. I don't want in this crowd. I don't want to be in this whole group. And we're not ever going to get in there. But when their mentality came, they started and they were determined that they were going to get this man down to Jesus. So if it took tearing the top of the house off, letting him down, they didn't care. They didn't care what effort it took. They didn't care what they had to do. When they left out, they said, we're going to get him to Jesus. Now, I want to preach to you that we need that same determination in our life today, that we're going to get our friends and family down to Jesus, whatever it takes. I mean, just however hard it may seem, that we're going to take care of it and we're going to accomplish what we started out to do. And you think about all of us sitting here today, I guarantee you everybody's got at least one, and some of us many, that we'd like to see come to Jesus. And it may be on our part and our effort, our determination that we get them there. You ask somebody to come to church with you this morning, they didn't come, you ask them again next week. Amen. If they don't come that week, you ask them again next week. And you ask them again the next week. And determine that you're going to get them down to Jesus. See, they knew this man's only hope was to get to Jesus. He had a problem. Amen. He had a physical problem. He had a spiritual problem. He is sin sick. And so these men went down there. I had a card in my pocket this morning. And I felt in. I don't know how long ago it was when I wore this pair of pants before. But I reached in. I had a card in my pocket. And when I pulled it out, it was Colossians 3:23. It said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And I thought about these four men, they were doing it heartily, not as unto men, but unto the Lord. They were heartily into this effort. And I thought, what things could change in our life, in our family, if we became heartily in this thing, if we come determined in this thing, that we're going to get them down to Jesus, whatever it takes. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now notice, the sick man, it wasn't on his faith. It wasn't on what he believed or what he trusted. It wasn't on him. It said, when he saw their faith. Notice that. When Jesus saw their faith, those four men carried him down. When Jesus saw their faith, he healed that man. And so we need to concentrate on our faith, not wavering or not falling aside or not dying out, that we stay faithful in the belief that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to save and heal our families and our friends and our neighbors all around us. It's on their faith, not on the sick. You got somebody you've been praying for a long time, don't worry about their faith. You keep your faith strong and going. Their faith will come later. And verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned so within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they're thinking about. Now understand, these scribes, they were looking at Jesus as a man. They wasn't seeing the Son of God. They wasn't seeing the power of the Trinity that was taking place here. They were looking and seeing a man. And that's why they said that. They didn't see God. When we see Jesus, we need to see God. We need to see the power of the Holy Spirit of God working throughout all each and every one of us. And so they failed to see God in Jesus. And so that's why they're asking, why would you say these things? And so Jesus had already told him, said, thy sins be forgiven you. Now, that's the greatest forgiveness we could have. Out of all the aches and pains and illnesses you could have in this life, I want you to know, all they can do is kill the flesh. Jesus forgave his sins, and he got eternal spiritual life right then. Bang! He's forgiven. He's trusted Jesus Christ. And so, here we go. These people were perceiving. They said, well, why would you say that you forgave his sins? They didn't see God. They saw a man. Man can't forgive your sins. God can. The Lord Jesus can. And verse 9, Jesus said, whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. He just asked them a question. Whether is it easier? He said, what's easier? To say your sins are forgiven or take up thy bed and walk? He's the Lord of all. But verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth unto them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it so in this fashion. They saw the power of God demonstrated. Jesus said, I forgave his sins. If you don't believe that, I'll raise him up and let him walk. Amen. Now notice, forgave his sins first. And then he raised him up to walk. And so that had to be a demonstration of the power of God that he can heal in the flesh and he can heal in the spirit. That presence with us today. You got a physical problem, God can take care of it. You got a spiritual problem, God can take care of it. Through the power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look over, if you will, St. John chapter 2. St. John chapter 2. There's a lot of thoughts I have in life. There's a lot of times I just sit and meditate, maybe by myself, and just meditate on the things that God's done for me in this lifetime. And there's so many, there's no way you can count them. I may count up and get a count of today what he's done for me or yesterday. But if you go back much farther than that, it's hard. There are just so many things God's done for me in my life and to help me and to bring me on a ministry that and the path that he'd have me to walk, that there's no way I can remember them all. Thank you, brother. But the greatest thing that I want to thank him for is salvation by the grace of God. Have you ever thought about what would you be today without Jesus? Huh? I'm afraid y'all wouldn't like me too well without Jesus. I was pretty rowdy. Have you ever thought about what you'd be without Jesus? What would you have become? You know, you're saying, well, we don't have any way to know. I've got some ideas about myself, where I'd have been and what would have happened and what would have taken place. So I'm thankful Jesus came into my life. In St. John chapter 2, verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, she went to Jesus because she had a need. If you think back, the leper went to Jesus because he had a need. The multitude, Jesus looked out and had compassion because they had a need. And if you'll read that about the multitude, he gave them what they needed. Now, I don't know if they all got what they wanted, but he gave them what they needed. So the same situation is applying in three different senses, that if you come to Jesus, you're going to get what you need. You can get what you need today by coming to Jesus. And he told his mother, he said, my hour has not come yet. But then in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Can you imagine that mother standing there and saying, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She had confidence. Amen. She had faith that Jesus could take care of whatever need was there. And that's the confidence we can have today through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that we come to Jesus knowing He can take care of our needs. You know, God loves me so much, He even gives me a lot of my wants. Amen. Needs are fulfilled. And a lot of times I get the wants, you know. And so Jesus' mother had confidence in Jesus. Now, this confidence we need today. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. I read this and I went back and studied some on it. You know, this purifying of the Jews, they was kind of picky about washing your hands. You know, we've read that before in Scripture that they were plucking corn and eating it, and they got on to them because they didn't wash their hands, you know. And so this purifying manner, it said these six water pots of stone, and they set them all down, and they put water in them. They'd come through, they'd dip their hands in the first one and get the worst of it off, hopefully, and the second one, the third one, the fourth one, fifth, and sixth, in like manner, dip their hands in all these water pots trying to get the nasty off of them, right? And probably did a pretty good job. Time you go through six washed, and most people's hands come pretty clean, right? Most time, you know, you'll have pretty clean hands. And I got thinking about what Jesus is going to use here. He's going to use some nasty water and change it into something useful. Dirty, nasty hand water. I'm looking through the crowd. Some of y'all are old enough to remember the second one in the tub. Amen. I mean, the water tub set out in the sunshine in the backyard, and you'd serve the fourth. Bless y'all's heart having six or seven kids in the family. I don't know how that went. Praise the Lord. There wasn't but three of us, so you know, and I guess it went now for our age order because somebody got the clean water and you got what's left over. But I thought about the nasty water. Now, some of y'all are grinning. Y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about, some of these young people. Some of you older people tell them about the bath on Saturday. Getting about tickled about that. But anyway, here's six pots. They're going through washing, dipping their hands in it. Now, the whole crowd, you know, everybody coming into this wedding, it wasn't deleted from anybody. They was all coming through. They was all washing their hands. And so they wound up with six pots of nasty water. Now, can you think about that? Six pots of nasty water. How many of y'all would like a drink of that? Huh? Ain't no takers here, right? Nobody wants to get them a sip of that nasty water. But here's the point being, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. So they're completely full of nasty water. And I thought about how full I was of sin and nastiness in my life before Jesus changed me. I think about how full you was of nastiness and sin before Jesus changed you, whether you want to admit it or not. What a nasty thing we were, unclean. And verse 8, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Take this nasty water and take it to the head man. To the one in charge, the governor of the feast. He's in control. Draw this out, this old nasty hand washing water, and give him a drink. And I thought about that power of God to change something. From a life undone, without God, and sinful, unholy, unthankful, and God's power to change that into something beneficial and profitable. That's what God did to me one day. If you're saved with the grace of God, that's what He did to you one day. Whether you've ever realized it or not, you was unclean. You was without God. And these six water pots, the demonstration, hand washing water. He said, now, draw it out and give the governor the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. He thought that's the best wine he'd ever drank, because it was changed by Jesus. He didn't know where it came from. Said the servants knew. They dipped it out of the hand washing water. But he didn't know that. To him, it was the best wine he'd ever saw. And I thought about the power of God today in this service to change somebody from something unclean and unuseful into something great. Can't we worship and praise God today for what he's done in our life, that he's changed us? Old nasty hand washing water turned into the best wine the governor had ever drank. That's what God can do for you today. He can change something unclean, unholy, unthankful. That's the description God gives of us before Jesus comes in our life. And a lot of people say, well, you're pretty hard on us. I'm not hard on anybody. I'm just reading what God says, that without Jesus, we're not clean. Without that bloodshed applied to our lives, we're still in our sins. We're dark. Jesus can change that today. Let's have a verse for song. I believe that's the message God had me to bring today. I believe God sent a message here, and I think God will give an altar call. If God's moving on you, that you need something in your life, got a problem, got a situation, need a spiritual cleansing, God can clean you up today. He can help you with that. Let him change you into something useful, something good. Take something that's not clean, something that a lot of people sure wouldn't want to drink out, and they really probably wouldn't want it on them. But let God change that in your life today. Everybody stand to your feet, if you will. Hold up just 1 minute, Kristen. Y'all keep playing just a little bit. I've had a request to open doors of New Salem Baptist Church, and we received members by letter, forthcoming letter, baptism in certain circumstances by statement. And if the Lord's led you to join this church, just come forward. Let him out. Amen. Let him out. Now he comes. He talked to me about this last week. And he said he's a member of Poplar Springs Baptist Church. Isn't that right? But I want to ask a question. You know you're saved by the grace of God. Jesus, your Savior. Amen. That's what we want to hear. And so he'll be coming by letter from Poplar Springs. Do I hear a move in second to accept him as a member? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Well, that sounded good to me, didn't it, you? And so proud to have him here. And I don't know him well. I know his dad, know his uncle, but glad to have him here. And we're going to close the service, just give you an opportunity to come around and congratulate him. And always good to see